It's a privilege to be here with you. I bring you love still of our brethren in Chicago, and Sister Janine brought the most fresh load of love from Chicago, but I also bring you love from the brethren in Chicago, as well as the brethren in British Columbia, in Vancouver. I spoke with our family members, the Kurigas and the Yemchiks, and my aunt and uncle who just landed. They moved here permanently from Poland. They will be with us on the West Coast, and they landed safely and are very thankful to the Lord for the safe trip and their move here. And they asked me yesterday to send their love to you all. The 36th chapter of Ezekiel is a wonderful prophecy, somewhat unusual because it opens up with the words which are addressed to the land of Israel, to the mountains, valleys, rivers, and it's somewhat unusual. It also ends, the 36th chapter, with a beautiful picture, I believe, of the Lord's flock. But before we get to this, I would like to suggest that we establish our baseline to the consideration of, I believe, all three chapters, which primarily reference the history of the nation of Israel. And when we do that, we want to look back at one of the most wonderful prophecies ever written and explained, the prophecy regarding the time of special favor and disfavor to the nation of Israel. As you know very well, Brother Russell beautifully brought up to light this feature of the plan, which relates to the double Mishnah, the Hebrew term which relates to the time of exclusive favor and then the time of punishment of the nation of Israel. So what I would like to do, I would like to mark that on a line, because I believe that whenever we consider prophecy, we have to have a baseline, a reference, the timeline. So we all know from the scriptures that from the time when the nation of Israel was formed into a nation, we like to consider this point in their history, the time when Jacob, the last patriarch, died. So the death of Jacob marked the beginning of the nation of Israel. And then, as we all know, for the period of 1845 years, the Jewish nation enjoyed the exclusivity of God's blessings. All the prophecies were given to them, and the Lord dealt with them in a very peculiar way. That ended, of course, when our Lord was crucified. And then a similar period of time of disfavor for the nation of Israel started and equaled in length. It brings us to 1878, 3 years after the return of our Lord. And we believe that the 36th chapter somewhat refers to this period of time, although specifically it will focus our attention on the time which comes after that. So when we start reading the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, which we don't have really time to do, we find very encouraging words directed to the nation, to the land of Israel. And it simply says, rejoice, because the time is coming when you will again start bringing fruit and be filled with blessings. And then prophet Ezekiel goes back in history and tells us about this time of punishment. And he says, it happened to the nation of Israel because they neglected the laws and statutes of the land. They did not observe the jubilees, and many other laws were broken by the nation. Even more, they started to worship idols. So Ezekiel says, this is the reason of your punishment. And we know that this punishment formally ends in 1874. But when you look at the nation of Israel, you may say, well, they are still in trouble. They had many troubles. But there is a difference in this, what happens to the nation of Israel now and what was happening before. We believe that the verses in the 36th chapter, which particularly refer to the time of punishment as defined in this scriptural term of the Mishnah, is included in verses 17, 18, and 19, where the Lord emphasized scattering of the nation. He said, I will disperse you among many nations, and you will go from the land of Israel to all the heathen Gentile nations, and there I will punish you. Then the Lord continues that in those lands they really polluted his name, or they profaned his name. And I think there are many ways we can see that happening. Anything which is nominal in nature, any time of church or beliefs which really makes people to reject God, is really profane, and it profanates the name of our Heavenly Father. And if you look at the Jewish history and some of their beliefs, the Kabbalah and all this they really used to enjoy and believe, it in a way it really profanes the name of the Lord, because these were pure ceremonies which the Lord always disliked. He always appreciated the pure and devoted hearts of his people. So after this time, the Lord says, I will bring you back. So this punishment was the disbursement, diaspora, when Israel went away from Israel, and then from Jerusalem, and then they were supposed to return. So in verses, we believe, starting with verse 24, Ezekiel tells them that the Lord will gather them back to their country. Let me quote verse 24. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And I think it was one of the most wonderful prophecies that Russell explained so well, then really enforced by the rebirth of the nation of Israel, which took place here. So I would like to mark regathering. That's the element which is clearly spelled out in this prophecy. But what comes next is a very important element which I would like to bring to your attention. I would like to call it cleansing of the nation. And as you continue reading in verse 25, it says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And I like especially the passage from another prophet of the Lord, prophet Isaiah, who I believe gives us an insight how this cleansing takes place. In the 30th chapter of Isaiah, starting with the verse 18, we'll quote only the 20th verse, the Lord tells the nation of Israel that they will return to Zion, but then the Lord's grace will be with them in a peculiar way, because, and now we'll quote the 20th verse, Isaiah 30 and verse 20. Although the Lord give you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, all thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And then the Lord continues and tells them that they will have to reject their idols. So after this punishment, rejection and dispersion of the nation, comes the time of cleansing, which is not always pleasant, as the scripture tells us, when the Lord gives them adversity and affliction, but only to turn their heart to him. And we believe that this is the same water mentioned here in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. So let me mark here cleansing. And then the Lord continues and tells them that I will give you a new heart. And then, verse 26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit which I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And then the Lord promises the nation of Israel His Spirit within them. It's a very encouraging and uplifting prophecy for the nation and for all of us, as we would like to mention in a moment. But it's always interesting to place ourselves, how do we envision, where are we in the stream of time? So let's say this is not up to scale, but let's say this is year 2000. We clearly notice the regathering of the nation of Israel took place. The cleansing process, I believe, mentioned here, took place also, because the nation of Israel is facing different adversities and afflictions. They are not ready to turn away from their own ways of solving problems. They are human, and like all of us, they like to do it their own way. You know, the human beings were always enjoying different theories, socialism, communism, Maoism, all the isms. They thought that they would solve the problems. And Israelites are not immune from this feeling. They try to fix their own problems right now. But through this cleansing process, the Lord teaches them that it's only by obeying His laws and statutes they will really reach the happiness they are seeking and they are missing from the time of their dispersion. And the 36th chapter ends with the description of this blessing. The food would be multiplied, their country will blossom, which we in part also see happening in our days. Those of you who were in Israel and had the privilege to see that, I were amazed certainly by the skillful agricultural inventions and improvements the Israelites invented, and also all kinds of technological issues also there. They have a special blessing. So the chapter ends with this description, which we really don't have time to discuss in details, except maybe for one final picture, which is this flock mentioned in verses 36, 7, and 8. But before we do that, I wanted to mention that when Brother Russell comments on this particular portion of the prophecy of Ezekiel 36 chapter, in reprint 1374, he mentioned something which I believe is a strong scriptural rule, that whatever the Lord predicted for the nation of Israel and showed in this 36th chapter, namely this time of punishment and cleansing, is also applicable to the world. You know the rule which is clearly stated in Romans chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. If there is a trouble, the Jew first, the Greek and Gentiles next. If there is a blessing, the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. In other words, Brother Russell suggests that whatever is pictured here for the nation of Israel will also take place in the nations and Gentiles in general. Because we know that another scriptural term which applies to Israel is called the Jacob's trouble, which finally will clean the nation of Israel and will disperse the fire of God's wrath to other nations, so that they can go the same through the same process of cleansing and turning back to the Lord. So the lesson of 36th chapter of Ezekiel, we believe, is an overview of the Lord's dealings with the nation. First, the punishment of dispersion, and next, the blessings of afflictions and the blessings of adversity, which are bringing them closer to the Lord, and its culmination in the Jacob's trouble, which results really in the blossom of all kinds of blessings related to the land of Israel as well as to the nation. The chapter ends with a very interesting picture. We'll quote from the 37th verse down to verse 38.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of thy house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in their solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I read these words, I was puzzled by the term, and I thought, is possibly prophet Ezekiel referring to the times of King Josiah, when Israelites renewed their covenant with God, and they were given by the king and the nobles of Israel thousands of animals which were then slain and sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem? Or is the Lord really referring to this particular feature of animals being sacrificed as an instrument of bringing people in harmony with God? Because that was really the purpose of those animals which were slain in the temple. And here we see that the nation of Israel will also take this particular role in the kingdom, where they will be an instrument of reconciliation between all the men on earth and the Lord himself. So that's the beautiful picture of the Lord's holy flock, the animals willing to die just to be instrumental in the Lord's plan.